I didn't want to trip. There's a cord down here that I noticed. I moved my feet around where you all can't see them. No, sometimes I think it's good to get a little bit out of the routine that we get into on Sunday mornings. So I don't think it was bad to have the collection taken up out of order. This has nothing to do with my sermon, but it's going to kind of help me get my mind to going this morning. I was up in Detroit. The reason I say that is I was with Roger through February up in the Northwest, and we were up in Idaho at the Treasure Valley Local. We stand for our second song. They don't. So I started to stand. I was up front getting ready to preach, and so they started the second song, and I did one of those numbers, and Rich Bove says, are we doing the wave? Nobody else could hear him but me. And the more I thought on that, I thought, boy, I got to focus on this song or I'm going to be laughing so hard I won't be able to preach. But anyway, that's how programmed we can get. So I think it's good to get out of order, out of sequence at times. I have to watch my wording because I don't need to be out of order. What I've got this morning is things everybody knows. It's things I know. Nervous habits. It's things I know, but for some reason here lately, it's something that I need to be reminded of. And so I thought, if I need to be reminded of it, there's probably somebody else in the congregation, or more than one, that needs to be reminded of it also. And I'll just tell you, the topic of my sermon today is on forgiveness and judgment. And I'm going to start in the 19th chapter of Alma, page 445. I don't like to admit this, but there are times I get hard-hearted. And it's not right. And I have to go back and I have to remember the things that are in the scriptures that really tell me where my attitude and my mind ought to be on certain things. This is Alma to his son Corianton, who had... that's self-explanatory. Verse 1. And now, my son, I have somewhat more to say unto thee than what I said unto thy brother. For behold, have you not observed the steadiness of thy brother, his faithfulness and his diligence in keeping the commandments of God? Behold, has he not set a good example for thee? For thou didst not give so much heed unto my words as did thy brother among the people of the Zoramites. Now this is what I have against thee. Thou didst go on unto boasting in thy strength and thy wisdom. And this is not all, my son. Thou didst do that which was grievous unto me. For thou didst forsake the ministry, and did go over into the land of Syria, and among the borders of the Lamanites, after the harlot Isabel. Yea, she did steal away the hearts of many. But this was no excuse for thee, my son. Thou shouldest have tended to the ministry wherewith thou wast entrusted. Know ye not, my son, that these things are an abomination in the sight of the Lord? Yea, most abominable above all sins, save it be the shedding of innocent blood, or denying the Holy Ghost. For behold, if you deny the Holy Ghost, when it once hath had place in you, and you know that you deny it, behold, this is a sin which is unpardonable. Yea, and whosoever murdereth against the light and knowledge of God, it is not easy for him to obtain forgiveness. Yea, I say unto you, my son, that it is not easy for him to obtain a forgiveness. And now, my son, I would to God that ye had not been guilty of so great a crime. I would not dwell upon your crimes to horror up your soul if it were not for your good. But behold, you cannot hide your crimes from God, and except you repent, they will stand as a testimony against you at the last day. Now, my son, I would that ye should repent and forsake your sins, And go no more after the lusts of your eyes, but cross yourself in all these things. For except you do this, you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, remember and take it upon you and cross yourself in these things. And I command you to take it upon you to counsel your elder brothers in your undertakings. For behold, thou art in thy youth, and ye stand in need to be nourished by your brothers. And give heed to their counsel. Suffer not yourself to be led away by any vain or foolish thing. Suffer not that the devil lead away your heart again after those wicked harlots. Behold, O my son, how great iniquity ye brought upon the Zoramites, for when they saw your conduct, they would not believe my words. And now the Spirit of the Lord doth say unto me, command thy children to do good, lest they lead away the hearts of many of the people to destruction. Therefore I command you, my son, in the fear of God, that you refrain from your iniquities, that you turn to the Lord with all your mind, might, and strength, that you lead away the hearts of no more to do wickedly, but rather return unto them and acknowledge your faults, and retain that wrong which ye have done. Seek not after riches, nor the vain things of this world, for behold, you cannot carry them with you. Now what was it that Corey Anton did? He committed fornication. He had went into the borders of a different place, and he had had sex with a woman that wasn't his wife. For I don't think Corey Anton was married at this time. So I got to ask myself a couple questions, and I ask you all too. Should we forgive Corey Anton? Should we? Should we judge him? I don't know. I've got some scriptures to go along with both of those. Let's take another look at another one. The 8th chapter of John. You know, in this, we're almost talking to his son here. You know, he says that there's only one for unforgivable sin, unpardonable sin. And that's if you deny the Holy Ghost once it had place in you and you know that you deny it. That's the only unforgivable sin, unpardonable sin. And there's some things in here that I think I ought to look at just a little bit before I go on. For he also, in the 13th verse, he tells his son that he should repent and forsake your sins. You know, that repentance is a changed mind, not to do what you had done before. Not only just to say you're sorry for it, but to change your mind and not follow after the things that you know are wrong. But he also says that you're to forsake your sins. You're to put it away, not to do them again. And sometimes that takes a process. It's just not a couple of minute deal that you do to say, well, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. It's a changed mind and a changed heart. And with those two things, it comes changed actions. And to me, that's true repentance. But there's something else in here that he tells them also, that he needs to return unto the Zoramites. In verse 20, it says, but rather return unto them, and them is the Zoramites, and acknowledge your faults. You know, when you do wrong to a person, I was going to say a brother, but a brother or sister, you've got to acknowledge that, and you've got to take accountability for your actions. John 8, verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. This wasn't something that they had just heard about. Evidently she had been caught. In the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't excuse the sin that she had done. But to me, it looks like he forgave her. And he tells her, Go and sin no more. That means forsake it. Don't do it anymore. Stop doing it. Forsake your sins. But she wasn't stoned. Jesus didn't condemn her there on the spot. But he admonished her not to do it anymore. Basically, in my language, it would be, stop it. So, I ask the same question. Do we forgive the adulterous woman? And do we judge her? Page 220 in the Book of Mormon. It's the second chapter of Mosiah. And I'm going to read a couple verses. Most people are familiar with the verses ahead of this, and probably this one too. This is part of King Benjamin's proclamation that he was given to his people when he was in the last years of his life. And he says, And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe these things, see that you do them. You know, he tells them that they need to repent and forsake their sins. And then you need to ask in the sincerity of your heart that he would forgive you. And then sincerity is something that I think is something that needs to be there. You know, you start out teaching your little kids, you know, your children, when they do something wrong to somebody, you say, well, you need to go tell them you're sorry. Well, I don't know about you all, but when my parents made me do that, boy, I went up there and I said, I'm sorry. Did I mean it? No, not really. But it's a process, and it needs to be done. But when you get older, you realize that it needs to come from your heart, and it needs to be sincere. You know, it's just not mouthing the words. It has to come from here. Page 637, to be the fifth chapter of the third book of Nephi. It's the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached to the people on this continent. It's a whole lot of wisdom in Matthew chapters 5 and 6, and also in chapters 5 and 6 and part of 7 in the Book of Mormon and the third book of Nephi. It's an attitude that we're supposed to have concerning our brothers and sisters and how to act ourselves and what to do in life concerning our brothers and our sisters when things don't go the way we want them to go and when people do things to us that we don't like, that are wrong and things that we need to take care of when we do things wrong to other people. Third Nephi 5, verse 69 to start with. This is Jesus speaking to the multitude. He says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, and it is also written before you, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment of God. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council." And if you look down at the bottom, in at least my Book of Mormon, that is translated, that rock is translated to the word worthless. So whosoever shall say to his brother worthless, or call him worthless, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if ye shall cut... Therefore, if ye shall come unto me, and shall desire to come unto me, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. That's Jesus telling him what to do. To go make things right before you come unto the Lord. Like when Amma was talking to Corey Anton, he told him that he needed to return to the Zoramites and acknowledge his faults. We need to go to those that we have aught with, those that we have a problem with, somebody that might have said something that's really not true about us. We need to go make it right. Let's go to the 18th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 18, I'm going to start at verse 15, go through the end of the chapter. This is Jesus again speaking. And he says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." You know, it doesn't say that... If somebody's done something wrong against you, that you're supposed to spread it all over the church. Not at first. And it's surely not supposed to be in gossip. Our fleshliness tells us, don't go do it. But the spirit that's within us needs to go by what Jesus tells us to do. He says to go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That's the first step. You know, sometimes we don't even do that in our marriages. You know, I don't know about you all, but, you know, I've offended my wife from time to time, not on purpose, most of the time. And I need to go talk to her about those things. You know, she doesn't go around telling the world that, oh, do you know what Mark did? You know? Or I don't need to go when I feel like Lana's done something that I don't care about. I don't need to go about saying, do you know what Lana did to me? I said, no, I need to go to her, and she needs to come to me, and we need to work it out. And it's not only in our marriages, but it should be with everybody that we know and come in contact with. Especially brothers and sisters. Verse 16, "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." You go talk to him again about it. And it's not that you've spread it around in gossiping. It's that you take some people, a couple of people that you trust as witnesses, so they know what's been said also. Verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. That doesn't mean to go around gossiping in the church. That means to take the offense to the church, and we have a procedure to deal with it. And it shouldn't be, that procedure shouldn't be to kick people out of the church. It should be for reconciliation. It should be to try to get them to recognize their faults and to repent and to forsake them. It's not to get revenge. Verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. God and Jesus know what's going on. You know, and then here comes Peter. Then Peter came unto him, verse 21, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? You know, is there a limit on the number of times that I'm to forgive somebody that does aught against me and comes to me? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. How many is that? 490? Are you going to keep track? You know? No. That's not what he's saying to keep track. He's saying that as much as they come to you with sincerity of heart and ask for forgiveness, you're to give it to them. Then we got a parable. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Well, that'd be a great thing. And that's what we're supposed to do, is to forgive him. And we need to remember that lesson. Not do what's next. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And when I read this, I need to look at it. So likewise shall your heavenly Father do unto me, if I don't forgive people from my heart. You know, we need to remember the lessons we learned, you know. If we've been forgiven, which we have, a lot of us went into the waters of baptism. And what was that baptism for? Was it just to become a member of the Church of Christ? No, it was for remission of sins. It was for remission of sins. And then after that, we have repentance. One more verse. Well, it's actually several more verses. This one here is on page 639 of the Book of Mormon. It's just verse 107. Still Jesus speaking to those people here on this continent, and he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You know, we've got a fairly large congregation. I mean, it's not a mega church. And we've got things that go on that shouldn't ought to go on. You know, people that stumble and fall, and for whatever reasons, they do things they shouldn't do. They sin. You know? And it's not always the same sin with everybody. But yet, as a people, we need to be a forgiving people. But as people that have sinned, we also need to confess our sins and confess our faults. And we need to forsake those sins and quit doing them. A truly repentance. Enough said about that. Page 641 in the Book of Mormon. Yeah, I still have the questions, you know, should we forgive these two people that I use as examples out of the Scriptures? You know? Yeah, we should forgive them. We should forgive them. And the other question was, is should we judge them? Well, I kind of have to say yes and no to that one. And here's why. And I'll give you some scriptures here to back up my thinking on it. You know, God's judgment is the best judgment because He knows the heart. We need to be careful with the judgment that we give people because we're going to be judged also. 3 Nephi, the 6th chapter, verse 13. "And now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he turned again to the multitude and did open his mouth unto them again, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, judge not that ye be not judged." We can stop there, and that would tell me that, well, we don't judge anybody. We just let them go about their merry business and don't worry about it. Verse 14. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull the mote out of thy eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." How many here have never sinned? Boy, I don't see anybody's hands coming up, really. Sometimes we're so quick to judge that we forget about our own lifestyles. We forget that maybe we have done some of the things in our past, the old man, you might say, that we condemn and we judge so quick other people for doing. Like I said earlier, repentance and forsaking our sins isn't a couple-minute deal. It just doesn't happen overnight. And with some people, it takes a longer amount of time for them to recognize what they need to truly do. And then we have a procedure in the church, and I don't remember the name of it, that needs to be done also. It needs to be done by those that God has given that responsibility to do. And it's a not easy thing to do that I can see. I hope I'm never... I don't know if I want to say that or not. It'd be a rough thing to be on what they call a board of judges or on an elder's court. Because you have to make a decision and you have to make a judgment. Page 282 of the Book of Mormon. And I hope this will clear that up. Let me ask this, and be honest with me, am I making sense? Okay. Because it just, honestly, from looking at your faces, I just wasn't quite sure if I was getting the message across that I wanted to get across today. Page 282, it's the 11th chapter of Mosiah. And Alma had formed churches in the land. And the king had given him responsibility over those churches. And I'll start with verse 111. I'm going to skip a little bit of this, but I'll start on verse 111 on page 282. Because there was a generation that didn't believe that there was going to be a Christ that was coming. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And their hearts were hardened, and they wouldn't be baptized and become members of the church. And they would lead some away that were members of the church with their flattering words and try to pull you away from your beliefs, pull you away from your morals. In whatever way he can do it. And he knows your very weakness. He knows your weaknesses. He knows my weaknesses. He knows Al Harris's weaknesses. He knows that Satan knows our weaknesses. Excuse me. So we have to be careful. And I believe that's what's happening to the church in Alma's day. For it came to pass that they did deceive many with their flattering words which were in the church, and did cause them to commit many sins. Therefore, it became expedient that those who committed sin that were in the church should be admonished by the church. And it came to pass that they were brought before the priests and delivered up unto the priests by the teachers, and the priests brought them before Alma, which was the high priest. Now King Mosiah had given Alma the authority over the church. And it came to pass that Alma did not know concerning. And it came to pass that Alma did not know concerning them, for there were many witnesses against them. Yea, the people stood and testified of their iniquity in abundance. Now there had not any such thing happened before in the church. Therefore Alma was troubled in spirit. And he caused that they should be brought before the king. And he saith unto the king, Behold, here are many which we have brought before thee, which are accused of their brethren. Yea, they have been taken in diverse iniquities, various sins. And they do not repent of their iniquities, therefore we have brought them before thee, that thou may judge them according to their crimes. But King Mosiah saith unto Alma, Behold, I judge them not, therefore I deliver them into thy hands to be judged. He put it back on Alma's back. And now the spirit of Alma was again troubled, and he went and inquired of the Lord what he should do concerning this matter, for he feared that he should do wrong in the sight of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He asked him, what do I do? What do I do about the people that are brought to me that have various diverse iniquities that they have committed, and there's witnesses against them? And it came to pass that after he had poured out his whole soul to God, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, Blessed art thou, Alma, and blessed are they which were baptized in the waters of Mormon. Then it goes on, the Lord goes on to tell Alma that, about the blessings that he's had, and that if they're willing to be baptized and become members of the church, that they're to take them in and to add their names to their numbers. And I'll skip down to verse 136. Because he talks about some that wouldn't be redeemed. They wouldn't be bought back for the fall of Adam. They refused. They were hard-hearted. In verse 136, Therefore I say unto you, that he that will not hear my voice, the same shall ye not receive into my church. For him I will not receive at the last day. Remember, this is Jesus speaking, or the Lord. Yeah. Therefore I say unto you, go, and whosoever transgresseth against me, him shall ye judge according to the sins which he hath committed. But remember this, in verse 138, it says, And if he confess his sins before thee and me, and repenteth in the sincerity of his heart, him shall ye forgive, and I will forgive him also. Yea, and as oft as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me. And ye shall also forgive one another your trespasses. For verily I say unto you, he that forgiveth not his neighbor's trespasses, when he saith that he repenteth, the same hath brought himself under condemnation. Now I say unto you, go, and whosoever will not repent of his sins, the same shall not be numbered among my people. And this shall be observed from this time forward. They had to repent. They had to confess before God and before Alma that they had done wrong. And they were forgiven. Verse 142, And it came to pass that when Alma had heard these words, he wrote them down, that he might have them, and that he might judge the people of that church according to the commandments of God. And it came to pass that Alma went and judged those that had been taken in iniquity according to the word of the Lord. That's another thing we need to remember if we're going to do this, that it needs to be according to the word of the Lord. And whosoever repented of their sins and did confess them he did number among the people of the church. And them that would not confess their sins and repent of their iniquity, the same were not numbered among the people of the church, and their names were blotted out. And it came to pass that Alma did regulate all the affairs of the church, and they began again to have peace and to prosper exceedingly in the affairs of the church, walking circumspectly before God, receiving many and baptizing many. And now all these things did Alma and his fellow laborers do. That would be Alma and those that were put in charge over those matters. Today, in our church, it's the elders. Where was I? 148. And now all these things did Alma and his fellow laborers do, which were over the church, walking in all diligence, teaching the word of God in all things, suffering all manner of afflictions, being persecuted by all those who did not belong to the church. And they did admonish their brethren, and they were also admonished, every one, by the word of God, according to his sins, or to the sins which he had committed, being commanded of God to pray without ceasing and to give thanks in all things. You You go and you talk to people to try to get them to reconciliation and to realize that they have sinned and to ask for forgiveness and give it. You know, all this is summed up in one verse on page 642. At least that's the way I see it. I could have probably read it and sat down. It's the golden rule. Because if we would remember that, we would treat people right. Third book of Nephi, the 6th chapter, the 24th verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. If you want to be forgiven of the things that you've done, forgive people. And it's not only forgiveness. To me, that golden rule that we call it, that verse really sums up the way I should live my life, as loving my neighbor as myself. You know? Do the things to others that you would want them to do unto you. If you've been caught in a sin, if you'd slipped and fell, it doesn't really matter if you're caught in it or not, you know you've done it. Ask for forgiveness. With sincerity of heart, ask for it, because it's supposed to be given. Thank you.